Good morning, everybody. This is Judith. I hope you're listening to Mad Love. Let's get into it. So, thank you for listening, liking, subscribing, and sharing. Right off the rip, want to say that the podcast is continuing to grow. I actually see an opportunity to add some value to the show and be able to do a few more things. I might switch platforms. I might be able to, you know, just give you a better quality audio experience. Right now, I'm just counting on the fact that you guys are finding some value in my words and my personality, which is way more vain than I actually am. But that's all I can afford to do right now in terms of time. It's not even a financial investment. It is time. I don't have time. As you guys know, I'm a caregiver. I work full time. I have a very demanding job. Ooh, about to cough. Sorry. See, demanding job is so demanding. Just thinking about it makes me stressed. And I just have a lot of things going. You know, I have two businesses, technically three businesses. And, you know, I'm just always busy. So I don't have a lot of time. But I do like to share my thoughts and I do like to help people. I do want to say thank you immediately. And I have some new listeners. Thank you for listening. If you want to follow us on Spotify, that would be a big help because now Spotify owns the platform that I started this podcast on. And they give the best metrics and numbers from Spotify. You know, I have to go to all these other places to get information. Like Apple Music, a lot of you guys listen on Apple, and Apple Podcasts. A lot of you guys listen. There's something called Other. I have no idea what Other is. A lot of you guys listen through the website, madlovepodcast.com. Thank you. Anyway, enough of that. Again, thank you so much. Appreciate you listening. This weekend was pretty calm. I mean, we finally have a medicine combination that I stumbled upon last week when my sister was in town. And it has really worked for my mom right now in the deep stages of whatever her memory crisis is. I believe it's Alzheimer's. I'm not sure why I'm making it seem like a speculative. She definitely has Alzheimer's. But you know, it's so weird because you hear these stories where somebody just had a vitamin deficiency or somebody had Lyme disease or somebody was dehydrated, but all the doctors initially go to dementia and cognitive decline. But I'll be honest with you, I don't know why I'm doubting it this morning. I've scienced everything. I've nutritioned everything. I think we've gotten this far, and she'll be 87 next week. I think we've gotten this far because I was so open to alternative medicine and alternative therapies and supplementation. I don't know. And she's in hospice, and I understand all the ramifications of that. It's just not in my nature to not fight, you know? And this is something that I believe in, and good health is just so important. And I don't know. I know I'm managing the end of her life, but I think you should be able to have a high quality end of your life. That's just the way I feel about it. And that's why I always get so frustrated, because when you're talking to doctors, excuse me, allergies have kicked up hardcore. So when you're talking to these doctors and they're just, kind of blowing smoke up your butt and always writing a script for something, it's like, you know, you guys aren't even trying, dude. These prescriptions. Anyway, I didn't mean to make it a rant. I wanted to say we finally got a combination of things that work. My mom got sent home from the hospital after her fall with a bunch of things that made her worse. And so I stopped using those, but she still needed a sleep agent. You know, CBD has been fantastic in terms of managing her mood and her anxiety. It has diminished some of the harder parts of sundowning. You know, it doesn't make it go away, but it really does help keep her from just going down this anxiety rabbit hole. Not all the time, but most of the time. And so right now we're doing a combination of CBD during the day. There's some candies that I'm gonna figure out how to make them myself, because I'm spending like $100 $100+ a week on CBD. Yeah, that is not an expenditure I expected to have, but I can't be without it. It really evens out her mood, and it helps make her disease more manageable for me. I'm not a trained medical professional. So when she's screaming and yelling and punching and kicking, and I need something to take that down. And just, you know, she's still very hostile around the underwear and the Depends. But anyway, saying all that to say, trazodone has worked in terms of helping her sleep. And after her head injury, we had really mastered sleep too. That's what was crazy. We had had a good sleep schedule. It wasn't crazy. It was fine. She was getting up once a night to go to the bathroom or something like that. It wasn't anything hard to manage. After she fell, she was getting up a lot more. She was so unsteady on her feet. It was just really rough. And then there were times where I could just tell she was flat out afraid to go to sleep. So the trazodone has helped. Finally, something, one of the prescriptions after all those medicines, one really helps. But I don't just use that. I use the CBD to manage it. And for now, for these last 2 weeks, it's been a huge help. I'm getting better sleep that's uninterrupted. She's getting better sleep that's uninterrupted. Our bodies require sleep, guys. All these things that have to happen during the day that our body is responsible for, that we don't think about or know anything about, that our body's just doing, a lot of that is predicated off of a good night's sleep. So I don't know if you know this, but even your blood sugar is affected by not sleeping. You might be having high blood sugar and diabetes issues because you don't sleep well. So it's huge. Anyway, it's been great. The trazodone has been helpful. The hospice staff, like I said, they're amazing. They're super helpful. Very, very nice people. And I can't tell if my mom is getting better. And she might be getting worse. I don't know. But on a day-to-day basis, we're just trying to come up with something that keeps her calm. And, you know, because she's having those moments. You know, she's punching you, but like you feel like, man, this cannot be good for your stress levels. You know, you're upset and you're harming. So you must really, I mean, your heart rate, everything has to be skyrocketing. So anyway, that's my story there. Doing pretty good with the CBD and the trazodone. And that's our plan. You've got to find the plan for your loved one. I'm not suggesting that anybody's parent right now, has this disease. Some people are just getting older and they really do have memory issues, but because they don't know what causes it, and because people are living much longer, maybe there's a chance that someone in your family, your parent, your loved one, your in-law, someone will develop dementia, and some of that dementia will be Alzheimer's, and you need a plan, because I'm telling you, there's nobody out there that's going to be able to hand you anything easy. These insurance companies, everything. Until my mom had a brain bleed, there was absolutely no real help because she had dementia, and they don't consider that a sickness. You do the math. All right. There are plenty of episodes about that on this podcast, so check them all out. I have detailed my frustration with the medical community and healthcare as it stands at length. I do want to touch on the Super Bowl. I enjoyed it. I dreamed. So as soon as I saw that they tied the game, I went to bed because, you know, I have to get my layer of sleep in because I don't know when my mom is going to pop up in the middle of the night. So I was asleep and I dreamed that they won. I even dreamed seeing Travis Kelce celebrate with Taylor Swift. And I woke up and my nephew had sent me a text of like, what a game. And I was like, oh, okay. And I checked the score and I saw that they won. So I, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was watching the highlights on YouTube. And I'll say this. I know there's a growing sentiment that the NFL is rigged. I believe there have been times that the games have been rigged. I believe that there have been times that people have been bought off. Do I believe by and large that the NFL is completely rigged? No. I was a St. Louis Rams fan for a long time, and I watched the beginning of that New England dynasty. I watched how they let New England mug our wide receivers. They did. Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce are two of the best to ever do it, to play the game. And they were small, kind of go to the ground before you hit me super hard receivers. And I mean, New England, and they were fast, and New England could not stop them, especially when Oz Akeem was there, and they couldn't stop them, and they just let them hold them. They would let them hold them completely down the field. Every play was a holding call, and they didn't call it. And it's like, okay, that Super Bowl, they got mugged in that Super Bowl. But a lot of times, the defense against the greatest show on turf was just to hold them. And they did it constantly. Every team did it, but especially New England. And I was like, this is, now is that rigged? I don't know. They didn't want the Rams to be high. It's not, it wasn't sexy. It was fun the first year, but it just like, yo, St. Louis is not our sexy football franchise. I mean, they kind of knew all along it was going to go back to LA. You could just tell. We never got a Super Bowl. That was the rule. If you get awarded a team, you're supposed to get a Super Bowl. We never got a Super Bowl. I mean, it was obvious that, I mean, Stan Kroenke just did the league's bidding. They wanted the team back in L.A., and that's what he did. I mean, I still think he's evil, though. And I think there's an evil side to the NFL. I do. And I don't use that word lightly. But I know that they don't treat the players as well as they should. I don't think the referees are employees of the NFL. I think they're contract workers. There's just money that they could be investing in people that they don't. These greedy owners just keep it for themselves under the auspices of, you know, we need this money to make the game better. But they don't care about the game. They care about eyeballs. And what's wrong with the film business is eventually going to hit football. Yes, I can't stand Jerry Jones. He's a snake and he's old and he's crazy and he's fucked up his football team. But he loves his football team. And the next people who own it may not love the team. And say it's not the Jones family. Say they sell it. The next person may just be a flat out money person. And they may not love the team. And so that's what's happening in film. These people don't love films. They love the money that films can make. And it shows. Because they all keep pretending like they don't know what movies to make. There's nothing out there. So we have to make all these remakes. And then Disney has really shot itself in the foot. I'm getting off on a tangent. I'll get back to that one. I did enjoy the Super Bowl. I thought Patrick Mahomes was amazing. And the thing I like about him the most is that he just, he wills his team to win, and he's a dog. I'm telling you, he is nice about it. But if you watch Quarterback on Netflix, you know he talks a lot of shit. But he doesn't try to be disrespectful. But he completely believes he's better than everybody else. He plays his ass off. And he does these things. And he wants to put his foot on your neck. And he did it in a nice guy way like Tom Brady. But they're dogs. They're both like Jordan. They're both like Kobe. Everybody talks about LeBron, but Kobe actually was the person that was most like Jordan. And there could be an argument made for, you know, him being one of the best of all time, if not the best of all time. But I believe for my dollar, it was Jordan because of the style of basketball he had to win playing. Like this shit that they do now, I can't even watch. It's unwatchable for me. I don't doubt that they're talented and all that, but I can't watch it. I grew up watching, you know, the Detroit Pistons, you know, Rick Mahorn, Bill Laimbeer, you know. I watched hardcore basketball where you had to, if you were going to take it to the lane, some grown-ass men were going to make you really question that, which is how Jordan got so good. And that's, I'm telling you, that is what I see in Patrick Mahomes. He has a dog in him. He wants to put his foot on your throat and choke you out in a way that LeBron doesn't have. That's what I've been trying to say all these years. I'm not even trying to say it. I've said it. LeBron is good, but he'll never be the greatest to me because he just doesn't have a dog in him. He is fine, you know, without putting his foot on your throat, which makes him different than every great champion I've ever known. I've watched Magic Johnson, who was smiling all the time, but he was going to put his foot on your throat. He wanted to win. You know, Serena, even against her own sister, she's like, I love her. She's the best person I know, but I want to win. You know, she wanted to win, and Venus wanted her to win because she's a good big sister. I'm telling you, that dude is amazing, and I've enjoyed watching him. I'm glad he's in Missouri. And, you know, they took our team, so it's fun to watch Kansas City. And, it's fun to watch. I don't think it's scripted. I do think there are times in history where you can look and see, did somebody take a bribe or something? But also, too, people forget these guys are young. A lot of these people are 21, 22, 23. And, you know, you can call that a man, but they're young and this generation is very emotional. You see a lot watching these football games, and Pat's good, man. Pat Mahomes is really, really good. And he was not a highly recruited quarterback. He was after Mitch Trubisky. That's unbelievable. Anyway, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. I do not think it's scripted. Do I care if I ever see Taylor Swift again at another football game? No. I think that part was scripted, where they just like cut away to Taylor, show Taylor. I don't fucking care about this chick. You know what I mean? I don't care. It's like, why? I don't want to see her reaction to every play. Good grief, that was lame. And I'm not trying to say anything negative, but how you go from dating Keisha's and you know, sisters to Taylor Swift? I don't know. The relationship seems made up to me. I could be wrong. Usher was okay for the halftime show. I have a feeling that I went back and watched a bunch of halftime shows, and Prince, of course, was my favorite. Michael Jackson obviously created this whole spectacle thing. Is Michael Jackson, when they had him and he put on a little mini concert, that was the beginning of this. And that was, what, 92? So that one was pretty epic. I really enjoyed Beyonce with, I guess it was Coldplay, but Coldplay had Beyonce and Bruno Mars. That was one of my favorites. I enjoyed them. Gaga, you got to give her credit. She had a lot of energy. And when Madonna did it, that was good. Yeah, but, you know, it takes me a while to fall in love with the performer. I thought it was okay. Like, but I realize I'm not a huge Usher fan. I like a lot of Usher songs, but, like, I didn't want to see his residency either. Like, it is what it is. He's talented. He deserves that spot. I mean, you know, he's a good singer. There's so many politics and all that going on with getting these now. And Jay-Z's in charge of the Super Bowl halftime show. So I don't even know what that means. So we're only going to see certain types of groups, I guess. I don't know. It is what it is. It was all right. The game was thrilling. Very, very good. Listen, I know they keep telling us Kyle Shanahan is a genius, but he has lost the Super Bowl 3 times. Twice as a coach, once as a coordinator. That's problematic. And he got outcoached. I told my nephew that's what was going to happen. I was like, he's going to get outcoached. They're going to give the ball to McCaffrey. He's going to eat him up. And then Kansas City is just going to hold on they're going to let them have that. And then, you know, they'll shut down everything else. And they did. And then, for some reason, San Francisco stopped using Christian McCaffrey. I don't know. I know it's a lot of pressure, but I always thought, I was like, Andy Reid's just going to out-coach him. And Andy Reid does not get enough credit for being a good coach. Yes, he's an offensive genius. He knows how to put together some really amazing plays, and he has the best player in the world to do that with. However, he's also a good coach. He's been coaching for like 30, 40 years. This guy's good. I remember when he was young. Also, what the hell? Travis Kelce knocking over Andy Reid almost? Like, that was wrong. He deserves more criticism for that. Because it is true. If a black player were to do that, it would come off completely differently. But anyway, I did enjoy the Super Bowl. I don't think it was scripted. I think Patrick Mahomes is the face of the league, and he deserves to be. Someone was saying, well, who was it? It was a former NFL player. I want to say Keyshawn Johnson. Well, how is it that Lamar doesn't have any commercials? No, no, no. Listen, I get what you're saying, but Lamar doesn't have the personality. And I'll be honest, to speak to middle America, which is where I am, you know, you would have to come up with a campaign that made sense, because he does not speak to the Midwesterner. You know what I mean? Like, just your average person at home. Pat Mahomes is the kid that you want to see, you know, come pick your daughter up. And that's okay. That's fine. I mean, but he's a dog. His middle name is Levon. So there you know. He hood too in his own way. His middle name is Levon. Just like Tiger Woods' name is Eldrick. That's hood. And anyway, I just don't think Lamar comes across with the personality to sell State Farm Insurance. He could be in a commercial, but you gotta have the personality for it. You know, you also need an agent that pushes for that and tries to open those doors for you. But I'll tell you the best example that I know that shows why Lamar isn't doing the commercials and Pat is. First of all, and Pat's a champion, so that's different. You can win all the MVPs. If you ain't a champion, it's a different conversation. But the best baseball player for 20 years was Albert Pujols, and he didn't have one TV commercial, at least not in America, and neither did Yadier Molina. Two best baseball players in the game for decades. And because they had Spanish accents, I believe they didn't get a chance to make commercials or be a part of the global conversation. But they were everything. The best. So, you know, there you have it. Sometimes the best players don't get commercials. And sometimes the mediocre players get commercials, because that's all they got is the personality and a giant contract. And then the giant contract goes away because they weren't that great. So anyway, that's my two cents on that. Albert Pujols was amazing to watch. I only watched him in St. Louis, of course, and he was fantastic. And because he wasn't a Yankee and because he had that accent, nobody seemed to celebrate him the way they should. I really agree. I really feel that way. Stan Musial, too. If Stan Musial was a Yankee, we would never stop talking about him. So anyway, enjoyed the Super Bowl. Thought it was great. I don't think things are scripted outside of that relationship with Taylor Swift. And I think the Chiefs are incredible and fun to watch. And I'm glad they're in my home state. I hope the NFL doesn't do any more bullshit like putting the reigning world champions on Peacock and forcing people to get streaming services to watch them during the playoffs. That was lame. But yeah, great, great team, great game. And glad Mahomes is ours. Bitch, please, I'm from Missouri. That's the name of a group on Facebook. Bitch, I'm from Missouri. Anyway, I had started to go off on Disney about 15 minutes ago. Yeah, you know, the thing about the film business, and like I said, the comparisons are very similar. Right now, people who love football own football teams. But all these old cats are going to die off. And you got to realize some of the people that are going to buy the teams don't care about football. They care about the money that football brings in. And that's where film is. They don't care about movies. They don't care about great stories. They just want to make hundreds of millions of dollars. And you can tell. That's why they keep making the same shit over and over again. And Disney is really hurting. And I don't know what they're going to do. They did this diversity thing pretty hardcore. And all of those movies have been flops. Every single one. I think they're even struggling with their cartoon. Not the cartoon. Is it Marvel? Their Marvel Comics thing is just dead. People are fucking sick of these movies. And it's like, you have been playing in our faces. You basically have been putting shit on the screen and being like, well, people will go see it. And people are finally telling you, like, stop shitting the bed and make good movies. And I'm telling you, if they weren't so fucking greedy, they could make a bunch of movies in the $30 to $40 million range that would return their investment and be good movies. And people would enjoy watching them. But they don't want to do that. They all want everything to make $400, $500, and $600 million. And there's no formula for that. You've exhausted the formula you thought was the way to do it. And now people hate you and your movies. And there's going to be a lot of blood, which is good, because that whole business and that whole system needs to collapse. It's horrible. And the fact that they have convinced everybody that that's the only way to make movies is ridiculous. It's like when record companies were run by people who loved music and musicians, it was a much better world than what we have now. And it's the same with film. When all the people who loved making movies and loved the aesthetics and just the experience of going to the movies and making people happy, when all them people left and they put all these MBAs and suits in charge, it's been a nightmare. And now we've reached the apex of the nightmare. It's just horrible. And Disney, man, they are really struggling. I don't know what they're going to do. And Bob Iger was a genius, and he should have stayed his ass retired out of the company, because now he came back to save it. And it's just going down in flames. And they deserve it. They really do. They have been unimaginative and just really pushing this DEI narrative that's backfired on them. And you reap what you sow. Make good movies. Make good movies. Find new voices. Build talent. All this shit is simple. It's not complicated. People tell you every day what they want to see. You know, no one asked for Color Purple, the musical. No one asked for Mean Girls, the musical. No one's asking for this shit. Just find new talent. We're out here. Anyway, that's my two cents on that. And I do feel like I'm going to expand on some film stuff, because I don't think people fully understand it. And I have a story to tell. So I'll revisit that. But not today. Have an amazing Tuesday. It's already mid-February. What we going to do? Let's get going. I know that it's early in the year. But if you don't get shit done now, before you know it, it will be December. So get focused, get after it. Thank you for listening. I appreciate everybody and all that you do. Take care. Be your best. That's it. Bye. Bye, Miss Laura.